Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to UK Carcast, the podcast by non-sport trading car collectors for non-sport trading car collectors. I'm your host, Paul Bynes, and this is episode 7. Another year over, a new one just begun. Hello, and welcome to the first Cardcast of 2008. In this episode, I talk to Harris Tozer, production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine, and a very special guest, to be revealed later, the highlights and lowlights of 2007, and what we've got to look forward to in 2008. Here's some news. Incorrex have a brand new internet exclusive card available on their website. It's for the Family Guy Presents Episode 4, A New Hope's premium trading card set. A set of cards based on one episode of the Family Guy series, one that parodies the Star Wars films. The card itself is one half of a two-part image and appears to show a Family Guy-themed Star Wars poster. If you're interested in getting one, you need to go to the Inkworks website, that's inkworks.com or inkworkscards.com, and click on the free promo link. Anyone in the US interested in getting the card can just send a stamped address envelope to the address provided on the website. If you're outside of the US, you need to get hold of a international reply coupon, which you should be able to get at most main post offices, and you may be able to get by order from smaller post offices. You'll also need to send a self-addressed envelope. Your application should be postmarked no later than February the 18th. Inkworks always pretty good at sending these things out, so just to be polite, why not pop in a little note saying thank you. In more Inkworks news, the company has announced that the set they were planning to produce for the Spiderwick Chronicles is on hold. It's been suspended indefinitely due to complications beyond their control. There are still promos circulating. The next issue of Non-Sport Update magazine should have the SC2 card. And of course there was a promo for the Spiderwick Chronicles in the Inkworks 2007 San Diego promo pack. Still on promos, Rittenhouse Archive have released images of their upcoming promos for their complete Star Trek 40th Anniversary Series 2 set. One of the images has caused a certain degree of controversy in that it shows Kirk from the episode Mirror Mirror making what appears to be a salute similar to that used by the Nazi Party in the late 30s and during the Second World War. A number of people posting to the Card Talk message board took offence at the image. Lynn Stewart, aka ST Card Geek, is in regular contact with Steve Chavendorf, the head of Rittenhouse Archive, and asked him for his opinion. He issued the following statement, which both Lynn and Mr. Chavendorf have given me permission to quote, "I'm Jewish, proud of it, and to take offence at this card image is to take offence at so many of the themes and episodes of Star Trek and other shows and movies. Nobody, myself in particular, advocates Nazism or anything that Hitler stood for. Gene Roddenberry made these kinds of episodes in order to make politic and social statements. If anyone thinks that Mirror Mirror was in any way promoting Nazi thinking, they would need to have their heads examined. As a reminder too, Shatner and Nimoy are both Jewish, and would certainly not have participated in this kind of show or episode if they thought that was what was being promoted. As a footnote to all of this, as Jews, we are raised to believe that the past should not be forgotten, especially when it comes to the atrocities perpetrated on any ethnicity or race. Pretending that Hitler or the Nazi movement never happened would have resulted perhaps in some of these very enduring episodes of Star Trek never being made. As some of the bloggers have pointed out, you have to put all of this in context. Mirror Mirror was not simply popular and enduring because Nimoy wore a goatee. If that's what some people only remember it for, then they have missed the point of the show. Star Trek is enduring primarily because it attacked so many of these important social and political issues of the 20th century, and because those issues continue to be relevant today. Roddenberry got away with much of this because it was cloaked in sci-fi with aliens and strange new worlds representing the times he lived in, and that we still live in. If not for that fact, and that the writing was brilliant, Star Trek would be lumped together with so many other shows of that era that do not stand out. Mr. Chavendorf continues, "I'm really proud of the P1 FOMO, although I will openly admit that I did not think it would engender so much debate. Mirror Mirror is one of the greatest Star Trek episodes for the reasons I've articulated and many more, and showing a stark image of Kirk wearing that uniform and giving his salute is extremely memorable. It stands out as a symbol of so much that was great about Season 2 of TOS. Once again, my thanks to Lynn Stewart and to Steve Chavendorf for allowing me to quote that in this podcast. You can judge for yourself, I'm sure, whether the card is offensive when it appears sometime in the next few months to promote the new Star Trek set. A New York-based company called Creative Concepts has announced plans to produce a set based on hip-hop. The set entitled The Official Hip-Hop Trading Cards is due for release sometime in early 2008, according to their press release, which bears the slogan, Where There Is Education, Hip-Hop Lives. According to the press release, these cards are not just to celebrate hip-hop, but they also inform youth and adults about the transformations of this genre of music. No details yet as to the makeup of the set or an actual release date. If you'd like to see more information, sample images, etc., visit their website, tohhtc.com, and there is a link on the links page of the cardcast.co.uk website. Apparently, the cards, when released, will be available directly from the tohhtc.com website and affiliate websites, as well as in traditional retail, speciality shops, newsstands, record stores, barbershops, vending machines, and other places. Good luck to them, and as soon as I get more information about the set, I'll pass it on here. Marlon Tozer, who's the managing editor of Nonsport Update, has won the USA Today Media and Entertainment Prognostication Contest. In December of 2006, USA Today asked readers to predict what the coming year will bring in the world of media. They asked a wide variety of questions and effectively pitched their readers up against their own team of experts. More than 1,000 people entered the contest, and Marlin beat the lot. According to the press release issued by Nonsport Update magazine, when asked how he felt about winning the contest, Marlin responded, "I'm proud to have the best score amongst all the people who entered the contest." USA Today had the full story on their online website, which is usatoday.com /money/media/2007-12-30-2007-media-quiz-results-n.htm. What I'll try and do is put a link to that on the cardcast.co.uk website. And now a short interview that Harris Tozer recorded with his niece Rebecca concerning her activities for the charity Nothing But Nets. Nothing But Nets is appealing for money to purchase mosquito nets for countries affected badly by that particular insect and the diseases that it, as a result, causes. She's doing quite well, but she's certainly keen to get any more donations that might possibly be out there. Listen to the recording that follows. She gives you the full information, and I'll make sure that links are up on the Cardcast website when the podcast goes online. So if you want to donate directly, please go ahead and do so. Excellent cause.
All right, Rebecca. So tell us, how did you become involved with the Nothing But Nets project?
Well, a couple of months ago, my dad read me this article about Nothing But Nets written by Rick Riley, who writes for Sports Illustrated. And then me and my dad did a little bit more research on the internet about Nothing But Nets, and I thought it would be a really worthy cause.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the organization Nothing But Nets actually does?
Yes, it's a grassroots campaign to help save lives by preventing malaria, and malaria kills a lot of children in Africa every day. Nothing But Nets provides anti-malaria nets that cover sleeping families at night so they don't get bitten by the mosquitoes. Thousands of people have joined the campaign that was created by the United Nations Foundation.
So how have you been doing with your donation efforts so far?
Well, I had a goal of $1,000 to raise for Nothing But Nets, and so far, I'm over halfway there. The organization itself has already raised $15 million, and $3 million of that was donated by Bill and Melinda Gates.
Okay, Rebecca, can you tell us, how can the Cardcast listeners help out with the efforts?
Well, I set up a team on the Nothing But Nets website, and if you want to get directly to donate to my team, you can go to tinyurl.com/2z7jvo. And just a small donation of $10 can save someone's life.
Okay, great. Well, I hope some of the Cardcast members can give a donation of $10 or more. And I'm sure Paul will have some of the information about this on his website as well. Thanks a lot, Rebecca.
Well, that was the news. If you have any card-related information or news that you'd like to share with other card collectors, please send an email with details to ukcardcast@googlemail.com and we'll include it in a future episode. And now, the main feature. Well, welcome to 2008 and our first proper interview of the year. As ever, we have our US correspondent, Harris, I plug everything, Tozer. Harris, how are you doing?
Just fine, Paul. Thanks for having me back again.
Welcome to 2008. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
How's your year been so far?
So far, so good. It's been a good 10 or 11 days here so far.
Yeah. Well, I think both of our voices are sounding a lot better than they did in episode 6, where you were starting to come down with a cold and I was starting to recover from one. So hopefully this will be clearer.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, listeners will be interested to know we have a special guest on this episode, someone that both Harris and I have known for many years. It wasn't until a pre-chat before this recording that Harris reminded me I hadn't actually spoken to this person. We've only exchanged emails. So a very big welcome to our special guest, Joanna Colbus.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on, Joanna. Joanna's a long-term collector of non-sport trading cards, mainly specializing, I understand, in sketch cards. In fact, if you look in the Todd Jordan's Encyclopedia of Non-Sport Trading Cards, you'll find every sketch picture in there is from Joanna's personal collection. She was for a while involved with Rittenhouse Archive, but now she's returned to full-time card collecting in a big way. So, Joanna, anything you want to tell us about yourself?
Well, I started collecting cards in 1992, so I guess that doesn't make me too old, but old enough. And I started with sketch cards. I fell in love with them, and I'm still here collecting them. I'm very much looking forward to 2008 as a big year for sketch cards.
So we'll be talking a little bit about what we're hoping for in the year later on in the interview. But how big is your collection?
I have a considerable collection of Marvel sketch cards specifically, and I also have a smaller sketch collection of other sketch cards from Star Trek and Family Guy and Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and it goes on and
your,
on.
Your main interest, though, is in the Marvel.
The Marvel sketch cards are what started me down the path.
Sure. Anything that basically has a Marvel sketch in it, you're out there and you're looking for it. Harris, you obviously are more than familiar with Joanna's card collection and obsession.
Oh, yeah. She's big time.
I let him take the babies out of my house once, and he had promised me he would bring them out my babies.
Well,
we're working on the encyclopedia.
Exactly, yes. As I mentioned earlier, the encyclopedia features a sizable section of colour pages covering the sketch cards, the various sketch cards, and every single one of those is from Joanna's collection. And if you haven't seen the encyclopedia, and why not, go out and buy it now. There's some really nice sketches in there, and I'm envious. I mean, I'm not a huge sketch collector myself, though. I have got a very small collection of them, nowhere near as sizable as that, but they really are some very nice sketches, and they show what you can find if you go out there looking.
I think most collectors.
I have one special sketch card, yes. Listeners may not be aware, car talkers will be aware of this, but anybody that's not on NSU's car talk, and again, why not? A couple of years back for the memorabilia show, we did some special cards, one-off cards or three-off cards. We got Patrick Hamill, who's done set work for a number of trading card companies, to do a special sketch of Joanna in her guise as overworked mom. And Joanna has one copy. I have another copy, and one copy was sold.
Hey, and by the way, what was the exact title?
That was overworked mom.
That was the overworked mom.
We were using
mom.
UK spelling. But
right.
The sentiment was the same. And actually, that actually raised quite a decent amount for the Children in Need charity here in the UK. So that went down well.
Which I was thrilled for because, you know, charity events are one of my favorites.
And of course, that takes a prize of place in your collection, I'm sure. So if anybody starts looking for that card, there's only three, and there's no way I'm selling mine, and there's no way Joanna's selling hers, and I'm pretty sure there's no way that the successful bidder in the auction will sell theirs, so you've had it. Let's go on, get on to the meat of the conversation. 2007. Obviously, the major news event of 2007 was UK Carcast started in June. But apart from that, so 2007, apart obviously from the launch of UK Carcast in July of 2007, I think it was, which was the major event in my personal life as far as cards was concerned. What else went on last year that you thought was is worthy of mention? Harris, you got any ideas on that?
Obviously, the first one I was going to say was the birth of Cardcast. So,
thanks.
Obviously, that's a big deal. That's really cool that we have this podcast now for collectors.
What else was noteworthy last year, Harris?
Well, I guess I have a few things here that I could talk about that were memorable. And a couple of them were shows. We did the Chicagoland show back in September, and it was a really good show. Not that Paul's shows aren't always good shows, but this one was really jumping. There was just seemed like there was a lot of renewed interest from the collectors there, and it was really busy. It was a Friday-Saturday show, and typically Friday's busier than Saturday, but at this show, for some reason, it was really crowded on Saturday, too. Yeah. We had to, unfortunately, leave a little early, and we sort of didn't want to because it was just so busy.
Can you remind us, who was at the show? Were there some celebrity names there?
Yeah, Paul had, he had a half dozen or a dozen celebrities there, and he also had four or five sketch card artists. I think his theme for the show with the sketch card artists were women in sketch cards. So he had four women and a couple of male sketch artists there, and then he had several celebrities from Aaron Warren, from Chachi on Happy Days, and a couple of other people. It was really good.
Sure. Joanna, Harris was saying there about the Chicagoland show having a bit of a theme of women in sketch cards. That's obviously it's a great trend to see women artists being promoted heavily. What are your thoughts on the subject?
Well, women are really well represented in the sketch card field. I mean, you've got Kat Stagg and Cynthia Cummings and Amy Provenos. I mean, they're just beautiful artists and doing beautiful sketches, and I'm ecstatic when I hear stuff like that. You know, girl power, right?
Yeah. One of the Carcast's early podcast episodes was at the big Star Wars celebration show, big convention we had here in London. That was in June, July. I know they had people like Cynthia Cummings there, who I said hi to. And it really was great to see so many artists there and so many women artists. I think the general perception outside, perhaps, of trading cards or the sketch card world is that most artists are men. Most artists you see in the comic books are men. So the fact that there were so many women making appearances and doing some, as you said, some outstanding work in the cards is a really good thing to see.
Well, Paul, that's a card cast for another day, the perceptions that men are collectors and that all card companies make cards for men. You know how many women collectors and how many women there are?
I understand where you're coming from. There's a huge number. Even if we only look at Card Talk as a representative sample, I think there's a sizable number of ladies there of all ages. Collecting cards, it's just as you say, it's the perception in the world outside that only men could be sad geeks. Whereas we know they're not. The men are just the saddest geeks. It was really good to see, and especially to see shows such as Chicagoland making a big theme of that to promote the fact that there is more diversity, perhaps, than people realize in the card world.
That's right, yeah. Another highlight on the show theme that I would continue on, of course, got to plug this, but I also think that the Philly non-sports show that we co-ran this year with the Richters of Philadelphia, I thought that went really well. It was the first time it was a co-production between Non-Sport Update and the Richters, and it was the first time that the show was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And we were just thrilled how the show went. We were thrilled with the turnout and the support that we got from the manufacturers, and we're just very fortunate that everyone supported it the way they did, and we were really happy about that. And we had some new dealers there, one of which is part of this podcast.
Yes, I set up a table and sold some of my goodies.
And was it a good show for you, Joanna?
It was a great show for me. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I sold a lot of my extras and some of the sets that I'm no longer collecting, and I had a great time.
Was that being the first time that you've done that at a show? Was it really tough to sell off some of your babies?
It was tough preparing for the show. Deciding what to get rid of and what to keep. The paring down process was difficult. The actual selling of it wasn't.
Really?
Once I got there and I was familiar with most of the people
I thought I saw you actually run after some people and try to take some of your cards back.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of that, Paul. A little bit of seller's remorse.
Look, Joanna, was this mostly stuff you had spare and extras of, or were you selling junks that you really didn't have much interest in anymore, or what was it?
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff that I had lost interest in. That's where I started collecting, and then my focus shifted. I really wanted to make the focus of my collection be the sketch cards. That had always been my intention, but somewhere along the line I had gotten a little off track and needed to pare it down. this show was a great opportunity for me to do this.
And presumably you didn't then immediately spend your proceeds on new stuff to add to the collection.
Well, I did. I certainly came home with my pockets laden of new cards and new editions.
This is good. This
binder.
So it was a win-win situation all around then.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had a lot of fun. Tops, I think, had a hospitality room set up. That was a lot of fun.
I know we did discuss Allentown at length in episode 05 with Harris, who was talking about it after the event. So if anybody wants to hear what Harris had to say about the show, then go back to iTunes, never listen to episode 05.
I don't recall. Did he talk about dinner?
He may not have mentioned dinner, no. He's very quiet about extracurricular events.
I thought, you know, like Las Vegas, they say, you know, what happened at that dinner stayed at that dinner.
Oh, okay.
Joanna, I'll be calling you later.
Igloo.
Exactly.
The secret word, though, I think the secret word for that dinner was igloo, right?
Igloo, absolutely. The secret.
Not so secret now, igloo. Given we've got, at least 10 people listening to this podcast. So.
But you're going to edit
it. Depends. This part out, make it worth my while. Cross my palm with autograph cards, and maybe we'll see. Or San Diego tickets. Okay. Sorry,
I don't have any autographs. San Diego tickets.
Well, it's been a running joke, as I'm sure you've heard in the past, Joanna. I keep angling for somebody, anybody, to send me tickets to go to San Diego, but it hasn't worked yet. One day. Maybe this year, somebody. Yeah, if anybody out there is feeling philanthropic and wants to send a poor, impoverished podcaster to San Diego, get in touch. From the UK.
From the UK, no.
Well, hey, you know.
Get that part.
I thought that might slip people's minds. So, anyway, on the subject of San Diego, Harris, you recorded a few interviews there for CarCast, and you ran your first panel there, I think. What can you remember of Comic-Con now?
Oh, as always, it was a great show. The show just continues to get bigger and better, as I say, every year. It was just packed, and I already feel it for 2008. You know, here we are in January, and it's, from what I hear, there's a lot of hotels that are sold out, and interest really seems to be high already, and we're still...
Yeah. Are you looking to go again this year?
Amazing. Yeah, we're hoping to be back there again with the usual stuff, you know, another card talk breakfast for the members of the forum, and hope that maybe we can do another panel.
I was
going
to ask, because obviously you did a panel last year, and that seems to have gone down quite well, so presumably if that's an option, you'll be considering that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's still early.
Sure. But, Joanna, did you ever get to any of the Comic-Con shows in the past?
I have been to several Comic-Cons. One year, I set up, when Rittenhouse set up, I manned their booth, so that was a different experience to have the convention from the other side of the table, but... I went one year, it was just me and my son. We had a blast, two of us doing whatever he wanted to do. So seeing the con from an 8-year-old perspective was definitely a treat for me. And now I always have the best time and I'm able to share it with friends. So I've left a week open on my calendar this year, but I'm...
Harris, get somebody to pay for both of us to come out.
There you go.
We'll plug for
You're
tickets.
You're the one with the microphone right now.
Moving on from shows, Harris, what else did you want to say about 2007?
Well, I think another cool thing that happened this year was the way some of the manufacturers of yesterday, so to speak, are coming back. It was great to see Upper Deck come back and do the Marvel Masterpiece set, and also really cool to see Dunruss come back. Of course, their set just came out, didn't really make a 2007 release date, because I think it actually came out in 2008, but
you had a fairly lengthy feature on that in, I think, the last issue of the magazine, and I looked at a checklist of the various autographs and chase cards. I was staggered at how many variations they've got in that.
Yeah, it is staggering. I think it was the first time that we've ever run a sidebar that was about a set where the sidebar and the set components were longer than the article itself.
That's a typical set for a sports card set.
I'm sorry?
That's typical of sports card sets, though, to have all the variations and the...
Yeah.
The limited to 10, limited to 25, deal.
No. Harris, you, exactly. you mentioned also the Marvel Masterpieces. Joanna, I'm assuming right. that's a set that you were interested in.
It is a set that I was very interested in. There were lots of sketch card sets this year, in fact. DC Legacy, Marvel Masterpieces 2007. First, I think, came out early on in 2007.
Joanna, I know you've got a pick of your own. You want to share it with us?
Well, I know from a collector's point of view that the one singular thing that was talked about a lot were the Harrison Ford autographs. The fact that we finally got a Harrison Ford autograph and that they were going to be so insanely hard to find, it just drove collectors mad with passion.
Yeah, I interviewed a couple of guys who pulled those cards, and as you say, the interest was absolutely insane about those cards.
It was. It was great to see, though, that people were that passionate about the hobby again.
Yeah, it was really good, because I know, I think Harris, we discussed this as well, didn't we? The rumors were that there were only something like 10 cards.
That's right.
And, of course, now subsequently, Topps have announced that they're doing the Indiana Jones, two Indiana Jones sets this year, and that Harrison Ford is going to be signing. So presumably there's a few more Harrison Ford stickers out there that can go on cards.
They have announced that Harrison Ford's signing.
I don't know if they've officially confirmed.
That's a rumor.
I don't know whether Topps have put anything out officially yet.
For the archive set, they have released a list of autographers and costumes, but not for the new movie, Indy 4, they haven't.
Right. No, I'm guessing.
The rumors that I've been hearing have Indy signing for the Indy movie, Indy 4.
Oh, right, okay.
Would make sense.
As you were saying, Joanna, the fact that there were so few of those Harrison Ford cards, it's the first time he signed anything. I think it was, didn't Topps do a cut autograph or something, or a cut card for something that had his autograph in?
I seem to recall that. It might have been for a sports set or a crossover set, but I think it was only a one of one.
Yeah, but this was the first time he's actually signed exclusively for a particular set rather than...
Right,
yeah.
and for a role that he is so well known for, or in this case, two roles that he's so well known for,
and one that he has in not lately, he seems to have come back round again. But I know for a long while he was distancing himself from Star Wars. Yeah. So much as he distanced himself from Blade Runner, and he's now started talking about Blade Runner again. So
I really should see that movie.
Don't worry, I haven't actually seen it all the way through either, so I've just heard everybody tell me I should. But Harris, have you seen Blade Runner?
Yeah, I actually saw it in the theater when it came out.
Oh, there you go. Should have known Harris would. Harris sees every movie going.
Of course.
Yeah, but, you know, you should also know that by now I've forgotten everything about it.
Oh, that's lucky, because the director keeps putting out alternative versions of the thing, so it's probably a different film from what I saw anyway.
Right.
There's a film that someone should make a set for, maybe, because there's enough big names in that one, and I'm sure there's cult interest in that. Perhaps someone could consider that one while Mr. Ford is busy with his pen.
And maybe when they do that, you know, with the profits that they make, they could send you guys...
Hey, it's worth a try. I'll mention it. Joanna, well, have you seen anything this big before or since?
You know... Anytime that a big star like Johnny Depp or Harrison Ford or Carrie Fisher, I mean, there's always been times throughout my collecting that you hear the name, you're like, oh, God, I have to have that. Oh, my God, look, we have to go have this. And this one just really seemed to hit the mark with a wide range
of
collectors.
Yeah. Do you have much in the way of autograph cards yourself in your collection, or were they what you were selling at Allentown?
Well, Robert and I maintain dual collections in the house. Mine are majorly sketch cards, and his are other sets, sci-fi sets that he's interested in. So, you know, a lot of Rittenhouse stuff and Star Wars and that sort of thing. But he has a lot of other sketch
We'll have to get him on as well at some point, so we can get the other side of the Culver's collection.
There is no bigger... card junk.
I know. I've spoken to him. So he came over to Birmingham for the memorabilia show one year, and
I know, left me at home.
That's right. Yes, Thanksgiving is a sore point with Harris.
That's right. No Thanksgiving for me.
But okay, so Harrison Ford was the big event, and I agree with you, Joanna. It really was probably the biggest card of the year. The fact that there were so few of them, so many people chasing them. I mean, I think anybody that didn't pull the card was dreaming about what they'd do if they did pull the card. I know the big debate on Card Talk and on Cardcast when we talked about it was, if you pulled the card from a pack, would you keep it or sell it? What would you have done if you'd pulled it, Joanna? You would
have
sold it.
I would have sold it. Yes, because I don't think I could have given it to the home.
No, I know there were some people out there who were so desperately keen to get it that they were paying big money, and the sort of money they were prepared to pay would pay off mortgages or pay off bills. I know one of the guys we talked to actually did just that. He sold the card for a very good price and used the money to pay off some bills and to add to his collection. So it's a form of recycling, but it's a good thing. I think I probably would have done the same if I'd pulled it. I'd have sold it because I'd have taken a picture of myself holding it and posted it everywhere and then sold it. But... That's the way around it. So maybe this year, if something else that big, I mean, we're running out of options really as far as stars who are A, still capable of signing, and B, who've never signed anything. I suppose the biggest name that would possibly come to mind would be Sarah Michelle Gellar. But I, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody of similar celebrity status that might get the same sort of crowds chasing after it.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone offhand either, that. Unless
of course.
We're missing the next big thing, whatever the next.
I think the advantage of a lot of people picking up licenses for the next big things is they're getting them early enough. They're signing things to say we want everybody to sign for it. But I know they seem to have done that. With Tops, mm-hmm. who have got Heroes, of course, seem to have done that. Heroes is, I suppose, possibly borderline just about one of the highlights of 2008, even though the cards were delayed. Are they actually out yet? They're not, so they're not really a highlight. So the buzz around those cards is probably one of the highlights of 2007. I posted a highlight. I mean, I know at San Diego, Harris, you were saying there was a tremendous buzz about the show, and I know the show's been amazingly popular over here, and a lot of the cards at the memorabilia show in November, everybody was disappointed that there were no cards.
Right. Yeah, the show was... there was this huge excitement for it in San Diego, and they did give out promo cards for the series there, and they had those exclusive autograph cards that a select few were lucky enough to get.
Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Joanna now. Joanna, it's been great talking to you for the first time ever.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I hope you'll have me back.
Would love to have you back, and as soon as you want to come on, just get in touch, and we'll have you on.
Well, thank you again.
Okay. Just to remind everybody, that was Joanna Kolbus, who was joining us all the way from America via the phone. Joanna, thanks again.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye, Harris.
Okay, see you later, Joanna.
Okay, so as Joanna mentioned there, one of the big news items last year was the Harrison Ford card. You got any more news items from last year that you think were highlights, Harris?
Well, I have one more, which is sort of a plug, and I hate to say it after the Harrison Ford thing because it sort of pales in comparison.
Harris, you plug something on the car cast? Never.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine that.
Actually, I've got one other thing to highlight that I'm going to mention. But
okay, cool.
Mention yours. Go on.
Well, the thing I wanted to say was, again, like the show that we ran, the other plug for Non-Sport Update was the fact that we came out with the encyclopedia. And this is the Encyclopedia of Non-Sport and Entertainment Trading Cards, of course.
Copies still available online if you wish to buy.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. the reason I should plug that and consider it a highlight is obviously we haven't had a book. We haven't had anything in book form in our hobby in quite some time, and I should say in terms of an all-encompassing book, and this is a book that covered cards from 1985 through 2006, and there used to be a whole line of these books that Chris Benjamin used to do, but we haven't seen one of those since, I believe, 1991, so, you know, it's really cool to have a book back in the hobby for collectors who are interested in seeing what trading cards are worth and checklists and all that type of thing that is more encompassing than we're able to do in the price guide of the magazine. And I should also point out that the encyclopedia was written by Todd Jordan. And, of course, he pays me $10 every time I mention his name. So got to get that in there, Todd Jordan.
Yeah, with the current exchange rate, it's not worth him paying me anything, to be honest
with you. Well, with the exchange rate, it's probably worth a pound, but
exactly.
What are you going to do?
But I'll mention it anyway, Todd Jordan. And if Todd's listening, then checks made payable. Well, PayPal is perfectly acceptable, just let me know. I'm going to talk to you about the price guide in NSU later on, because I know there's been some changes in that, so we won't talk
That's
about
right.
that just at the moment. But how well has the encyclopedia been received? Is that still selling quite strongly?
Yeah, it's been very well received. We get orders for it every day, and we're selling copies to hobby shops and things like that, and it was a good seller for us, and we were quite pleased with it.
And of course, you can officially use the phrase "as seen on TV" as far as
that's right. That's right. The book appeared in an episode of the television show Numbers, which I think we talked about in a prior episode of the Cardcast.
We talked about that in episode 6 briefly. So that's all the highlights you have, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's. That would make up my whole list. I do have one low light that I guess we'll get into a little bit later. But
we'll get on a second. No,
how about you, Paul? What did you think was – what's on your list for highlights of 2007?
Well, most of my highlights are personal ones and probably not much of much interest. But there's one highlight of NSU connection that you haven't mentioned, and that, of course, is the God of P preview set.
Well, there you go. How can you get that?
Has that sold out yet, Harris?
Well, there are still some sets left. If anybody would like to order one, they can. And if they'd like to see what it's all about, they should try and pick up the brand new issue of Non-Sport Update, which has a Gotta P cover on it, and show some of the art inside. And it has an interview with the Gotta P man himself, Doug Kuser.
Moving away from the thing, possibly the only news item that could have dwarfed Harrison Ford's trading card from the newsstand. Personal highlights, I think possible, apart from obviously starting UK Cardcast, plug, the big events of the year for me, from a UK perspective, were probably the big Star Wars Celebration show that we had last summer in London. That went on for the whole weekend, celebrating the Star Wars 30th anniversary.
That was great that they had one of those in the UK.
Yeah. And I've been to a fair few of these shows in the past, shows and conventions for Star Trek and Babylon 5 and so on and so forth. I think this was the first big Star Wars show I'd been to, and the way it was organised was outstanding. It really was, to my opinion, one of the best shows of its type that I've ever been to. Possibly the closest we've got over here to one of the big San Diego style shows, in the sheer range of events and stands. There were some outrageous stands of that. Other highlights this year, well, probably memorabilia probably has to be one of them, purely and simply because a certain Harris Tozer of Non-Sport Update magazine came over again.
Oh, stop.
Well, you know. Have to give your ego a bit of a polish as well. I know you were a little disappointed by the fact we weren't able to get a card talk gathering off the ground as successfully as in previous years. But as far as everything else went, that was a pretty good show.
Yeah, it was. It was from my perspective, it was a really good show. It was continues to be very strong.
Yeah. So as far as UK manufacturers are concerned, there wasn't an awful lot going on to the best of my memory. Strictly Inc. is still out there, and I believe they put out some CSI sets this year, though I'd need to have that one confirmed. But otherwise, not an awful lot going on as far as cards were concerned. I think most manufacturers in the UK were doing the Doctor Who trading card game cards, which were a huge success.
Right.
I think there are three different sets for that now.
Is that the one that comes in the magazine?
That's the one that comes in the magazine, but you can also buy packs separately in boxes.
UK company, or
no? I think it's a European company, but they produce the magazines for the UK market.
Hugely popular.
Yeah, they've done three different sets now, and if I've got this correct, the same company are now doing in 2008 a set based on the James Bond films. So
is that right?
Yeah, that only literally came out in the last couple of weeks. So, and it's very much following the same format of a magazine and a pack of cards on the front. And then you can buy packs separately in boxes, as I understand it. So, that seems to be where most of the interest in the UK outside of the hardcore non-sport collectors is based. I know at a number of the different shows in the UK, most people are selling the Battles in Time, the Doctor Who TCG cards. So that more or less covers 2007 as far as the highlights. Lowlights, we did lose a few people last year, didn't we, Harris?
Yeah, we did. That's a shame. It's unfortunately, we do have the card collecting in general has a range of collectors in age, but there are when you get to the sector that collects stuff from the 40s and 50s and things like that, you do find some older people. And unfortunately, we had several that passed away this year. There were several collectors and dealers who passed away this year, including David Grimes, who actually was I believe he was born in England, but had lived in the States here for many years. And he was a dealer of tobacco cards. He was a mainstay at the Philly non-sport shows. He unfortunately wasn't able. Well, he had passed away right before the Allentown show, and but he had done many shows with the Richters, and in the last place that the Philly non-sport show was held, he was the dealer that you would see when you walked right in. So it's really a shame.
Yeah, he would have been a familiar face to anybody going
exactly,
to the show.
Exactly. And he was, he was only in his 50s, so it's really a shame to see him pass away.
Yeah.
And also Hugh Jones, who is another dealer and has done many of the Philly non-sport shows, passed away just here towards the end of December. He was a dealer of cards from the 30s, and he was really big into them. He's really one of the only dealers of cards from that era, and now that's left a huge hole in the hobby, and such a shame to see him pass away. He was a very nice man.
Yeah.
And also Dick Dahlquist, he was a pretty large collector, specialized in airplane cards. He passed away during the year as well. Yeah. And one other, I hate to keep reading this list because it's depressing, but Sal Dos Santos, who was the owner of Staten Island Collectibles in Staten Island, New York, he passed away during the year. He was he owned, as I said, a shop in Staten Island, and he used to come to the Philly non-sports show. And so it's really sad to see him go as well. Before Joanna had to leave, we had been talking about Tom Carter. He was a sketch card collector, pretty big into it, and a friend of Joanna's. And he had passed away during the year as well. And Joanna, I know, wanted to say a few words about him, but unfortunately she had to leave the call here. So, but I did want to definitely mention his passing as well.
Sure. All our thoughts with the families and friends of all those who passed away in 2007. It's a sad thing, but if we're looking back at the year, we do have to look at the sad moments as well as the, right, the happy ones. So now it's a case of looking forward to 2008. I can think of a few things that I'm personally looking forward to. Whether they have any card connections is difficult to say. What are you looking forward to the most this year?
Maybe some of the same things you're looking forward to that may or may not have some card related things too, but I guess we talked about San Diego before, and that will be hopping again this year, I'm sure. I think we talked a little bit about Heroes too. That should be out soon.
Yeah.
That's going to be a major major release this month and this year, and I'm sure Topps will have another Heroes release before the year is out.
Something I was going to ask you about Heroes, Harris, because obviously season one, huge, really big, popular success all around the world. Series two, or season two, prior to the writer's strike, I believe it's affected by the writer's strike, it's not in production at the minute, or it's right. in hiatus. But prior to the writer's strike, it wasn't getting such good reviews.
No.
Do you think that's likely to have an impact on any possible set release?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, if the ratings go down far enough that the show would get canceled, of course, then that could be a problem. But I don't really foresee that happening. I think we're good.
You mentioning about a cancellation reminds me there were a number of shows that got cancelled towards the end of last year, and obviously a number of card companies did sets for them. I'm thinking particularly of things like the 4400.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a lot more of that sort of thing going on? TV stations do seem to be getting a lot more fickle about their shows. They don't seem to be giving them the time to establish themselves. And if the show isn't being given enough time to establish itself, then there's unlikely to be commitment from card companies for those.
Right, right. That's always been an issue. And this writer's strike, sure, is not going to help things. I think there's going to be less chance given to these shows than ever before because of the writer's strike. So it may be interesting to see if any of the new shows that started in 2000 for this television viewing season get a card set, because they might not get an opportunity because of the strike.
Yeah. Of course, talking about, and we're moving back on to what's coming up in 2008, talking about cancelled shows, Family Guy, which got cancelled, reinstated. Inkworks have got some new Family Guy cards coming out this year, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I believe we talked about a little bit about this in one of the prior podcasts as well, and that is they're doing a set just on the one episode, which was the Star Wars-themed episode.
Yeah. I know Inkworks, I mentioned it in the news section, Inkworks have got their internet exclusive promo on their website at the moment,
right.
Which is one half of a two-part poster spoof.
Right.
Between the Family Guy characters. So what other sets are you aware of that are due to be released this year, Harris, that you've heard of?
We did talk a little bit about this before, but the of course the Indiana Jones set is going to be huge.
Oh, yeah. And of course there's two for that, because there's going to be another set out for the film later on in the year. So
that's right. There'll be one in just a couple of months for the Looking Back set, the Indiana Jones Heritage set that looks back at the prior releases. But that one has tons and tons of autograph cards in it, and then of course they'll do one for the new movie that will be out, I believe, in May.
And I think these are the first cards to be produced for Indiana Jones since the original films came out. I mean, we're talking the best part of 20 odd years for these, aren't we?
Right, that's right. We'll be actually doing a cover in Non-Sport Update for that as well.
Oh, great! So
for the new movie, I should say.
Yeah. Any news on promos for that yet, or is that still too early to tell?
No, I don't know of. I really don't know what Topps is doing yet with promos for continuing on in the movie theme and what's coming for 2008. I guess we'd have to also mention the next Harry Potter movie that's coming this year, and of course Artbox. I mean, I haven't heard for certain, but I'm sure Artbox will be doing a series for that, and that'll be a big release as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've done something for all the other films, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, so, they've even gone back and done some for the movies that came out prior to their license. Even for the one that already had a movie set, that Wizards of the Coast, they did a series for that.
There are some blockbusters coming up next year. We've already mentioned Indiana Jones, but of course, coming next winter, we've got the new Star Trek film, the J.J. Abrams film. There's also the other J.J. Abrams project, which is Cloverfield, or tentatively called Cloverfield, and there's no news yet about whether anybody's picked up the card license for that. Or
I actually had heard a rumor at one point that one of the manufacturers was working on a card set, but I guess like the movie, everything's cloaked in secrecy. I haven't heard any more on that, so I don't know if that's coming or not.
Probably there is a new Bond film out next winter as well, but I suspect that if there were cards for that, that wouldn't be until 2009. I suspect that'd be Rittenhouse again, because Rittenhouse have got the Bond license.
Right,
haven't
they? Right. The other interesting thing is this year is the Marvel license. It's interesting that, you know, you have of the Iron Man set that Rittenhouse has announced, and you also have the cards that are coming from Upper Deck. They've already announced a second season, or second series, I should say, of the Marvel Masterpieces line. So,
yeah, I'd forgotten about Iron Man. Yes, we did. We talked obviously about the Upper Deck set. You've mentioned about that before, but the Iron Man is new, isn't it?
We haven't. When we talked about it before, though, we were talking about the original Marvel Masterpieces set, but
yes.
There is talk now that they're doing a second series of Marvel Masterpieces in 2008.
Oh, right, okay. So, and, of course, Rittenhouse are doing Iron Man. That's a piece of news, I think,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, so you have two companies both working on Marvel-related sets here. And, I guess also some talk on the NSU Card Talk forum about a Women of Marvel set that Rittenhouse is doing, so... Seems like
oh really
yeah
so
seems like there should be a lot of Marvel related sets coming this year.
What has NSU got planned for 2008?
Well, I can tell you this: we're definitely doing the Philly non sports show again. That'll be May 3rd and 4th, same location, which is Merchant Square Mall in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, great! I get to use the Billy Joel.
There you go. You can use that for a while. But, definitely doing that. We don't have too many details yet, but we know we'll have sketch card artists there once again, and we know we'll have some of the card manufacturers represented again. But don't have details yet, but maybe if I'm lucky enough to be back on another one of the podcasts in another month or two, I'll be able to plug that with some more details.
I think we might be able to squeeze you in somewhere.
I don't know. These things are getting so popular that you might just run out of room for me.
Actually, on the subject of popular, I know we have discussed this offline, but I'd just like to say thank you to everybody that actually subscribes to the podcast. We're averaging somewhere in the region of about 7 or 8 new listeners subscribing every day to the Cardcast. Yeah, that's not people who listen once and you never hear from again. They actually click on the subscribe button. Now, that may not seem a humongous number of people, a number of subscribers to anybody listening, but trust me, it's a lot for what is, let's face it, somewhat of a niche market podcast. So, and we don't do a humongous amount of promotion, though obviously Harris has mentioned us a few times on Card Talk and on the NSU website. So I'd just like to say thank you to everybody that subscribes, and keep subscribing.
Yep, sure.
I'd like to see if we can continue this little experiment in sound broadcasting throughout the rest of 2008. And hopefully, if we can keep it ticking over, we'll be able to do a very similar show, but slightly more professionally produced in 2009. Mm-hmm. So you're doing Allentown again. Are you only confirming that you're doing the spring Allentown, or have you got plans further afield for that?
No, we have plans for the fall as well. Actually, if you go to the best place to go is to the Richter website, which is richtershows.com. That's R-E-I-G-H-T-E-R shows.com. You can see details on both the May show, and I believe you'll get the dates on the October show as well. And let's see. There's some also details on Non-Sport Update's website if you click on the show link on the nonsportupdate.com website.
Right. And what I'll do is I'll make sure there's links to those sites on the Cardcast website. So,
okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. What else have you got planned for the year? Anything you can tell us about issues or covers or anything?
We have a brand new issue that's out now, and back to this – back to the Gotta Pee thing, but that's what's on the cover of the new issue with Mary Lynn P. Monroe. Not Marilyn Monroe, but Mary Lynn P. Monroe. And that issue is just starting to ship now, and that has a preview of some of the things we're talking about here. 2008 cards are in that. And I can also say that in March we'll have a Iron Man cover, tied in with the movie, of course, and the Rittenhouse card series.
Right.
And tentatively, as I said before, we have an Indiana Jones cover planned for the May issue.
Sure. Obviously, these are all subject to changing circumstances in the card world. So,
that's right.
Yeah. I know the Iron Man cover could be interesting because there have been some sneak peeks at some of the imagery from the film, and they are absolutely stunning to my eyes. And I'm not a huge Iron Man fan, so hopefully we've got something to look forward to there.
Yeah, I feel about the same way.
Anything else planned for the year? Are you going to be expanding out of a preview set and going to a full impact set for God of P?
We're still trying to determine interest on that. I guess we're waiting to see what happens when the new magazine hits and that kind of thing. And as far as anything else goes, we're only 12 days into the year so far. So it's actually, I guess I should say 13 days into the year so far.
At time of recording.
Yeah, at time of recording. It's still a little early to say what else we'll do in this year, but I'm sure there'll be several other surprises coming throughout the year.
Any idea whether there's going to be a volume 2 of the encyclopedia? Because obviously the volume does say it's volume 1 and covers the most recent sets. Any details on that, or are you still undecided?
It's to be determined.
Sure.
I guess the next thing that we would probably do would be an update on Todd's promo card encyclopedia book, and that's still in the works as well, but no definitive dates on that just yet.
Oh, well, just remember, we did talk earlier, Harris, about the price guide in the magazine, and I know you posted on Card Talk to say there's been some changes in the way that's handled in the issue now. Can you go into more detail about that?
Well, sure. Anybody that came to the fall memorabilia show, to our small gathering at the memorabilia show, knows this, and we've just been struggling for the last year or so finding space to add all the new listings. Listings in the older days, when they were just stickers or things like that, the listings in the price guide, those listings only take 2 or 3 lines. The new listings can take 60 or 70 lines when you add in all the various autographers and promo cards and costume cards and whatnot. It's just amazing how long these listings have gotten, and we just do not have the space in the magazine to list it all anymore. So we've had to come up with something else, and what we've decided to do, starting with the current February-March issue that just started shipping, is we are now breaking the alphabet up. It's not quite split in half, but it's A through L and M through Z will be listed every other issue. With a couple of exceptions, and those being we will continue to list newer cards the last 5 years in every issue, because we feel that those are probably what are being looked at the most. So we will continue to list new cards from the last 5 years in every issue, but anything older than that will get split up. And we know that our readers hold on to their magazines, so they hopefully – will have a previous issue on hand that they could look up the other section if they don't have it. Like, for example, if they buy the new issue, they'll find A through L in that one. And if they have the prior issue, that one would have the M through Z section.
The prices on older sets don't tend to change that much. They don't tend to be too radically different, do they, from issue to issue?
That's right. Yeah, they seem to, you know, they come out, They may they're at one rate, they may go up, they go down, you know, all that happens within a year or so, and then they sort of stabilize after that point for the most part. Not everything, but for the most part. So it's really volatile the first year or two, and then after that they kind of stabilize. And the other thing that I should point out is the one other change that this will allow us to do is that when a new set comes out, we'll be able to actually expand the listing. So something that has just come out within the last month or two will get an expanded listing when it first appears in the magazine, which is something we weren't able to do before. But now we'll be able to list a lot more of the details, a lot more of the named autograph cards and things like that in the listing the first time it gets listed. And then after that, it will be condensed to the way that it was before. But we're really happy that we're able to expand the listings a bit the first time it gets listed.
Sure. So overall, although people will have to consult more than one issue to get some prices, it should make it a lot more easily readable.
Yeah.
Because I think the only other alternative would have been to make the text microscopically small.
Exactly. Or
that would have been fatal.
Tossed around. We did talk about moving things online, but or a portion of it online, but you know, not all of our readers are online, and it is somewhat of a jip if. You know, the magazine says go online to get the rest of it when you've just the magazine. But it's a shame. You know, I should stress that it's not something, this is not something that we really wanted to do, but we were sort of forced into it by the size of the new listings, and we felt this was the very best alternative to any of the options that we were tossing around.
It's a natural consequence of the ever-expanding set as the manufacturers become more attuned to what the collectors want. Right. And the collectors seem to like multiple chase sets and multiple autographs, right, and multiple costumes and so on and so forth. And anywhere up to, I think, for some sets in the past, we've had anywhere going up to 13, 14, 15 promos. It's going to impact the individual set listings. I mean, I remember way back in the good old days, you had a base set and that was it.
Right.
So you the listing for that one would presumably be one line.
Exactly.
So finally, just to round up the episode, in the news section, I mentioned Rebecca Tozer's Nothing But Nets appeal.
Right.
And you very kindly recorded a short interview with Becca talking about the project.
Thank you very much for airing it.
That's okay. Although she's already hit her target, she was aiming to get $1,000. She's quite keen for people to continue donating so that she can beat that target with style.
That's right. Yeah, she her target was 1,000. She's been working on this for a couple of months now. It's slowly grew over the 2 months, but she finally hit it. She's at, the last time I checked, she was exactly at 1,000. And, that's just great. It's great that she's able to raise that sum of money for this very worthwhile organization.
If anybody hasn't already made a contribution, or if you'd like to make another contribution, if you already have, there's a link that's on the front page of the UK Cardcast homepage. That's cardcast.co.uk. Click on that link and you can pay using your credit card, or you can make any other donation.
Right.
And let's see if we...
One thing, too, that we should add is that, you don't have to donate a whole lot of money. Rebecca's really just looking for donations of $10, so that's really not a lot of money from somebody to give.
No, it's what, in current exchange rate, it's what, about 50p?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but no, all joking aside, it is a really good cause. As I mentioned in the news item earlier, and as Rebecca just mentioned in the news item earlier, the whole point of the thing is to send mosquito nets out to countries that are badly affected by malaria and other mosquito-caused diseases. So if you've got a bit of spare, maybe skip buying a couple of packs this week and donate $10 or so to Becca's campaign.
Right, right.
And let's see if we can get Becca's total up even higher.
Great, yep.
So, once again, Harris, a pleasure to talk to you.
Very good to talk to you too, Paul. Thank you very much for having me on again. I know you.
That's okay.
You keep not wanting to have me, and I just keep coming back. I'm like a bad disease or something.
Listeners, if you can help, if you want to hear a different voice on here and you don't want Harris on, write in and say, I want to be interviewed, because I'm more than happy to find a replacement for Harris anytime soon. A different voice would be fine. Oh, I know, that's the trouble. No, again, joking aside, it's always a pleasure to have Harris on. He always gives good value for the money. And it was great to have Joanna on earlier. I know you've been friends with Joanna for many years, and I've been exchanging emails and letters with her for many years as well. Mm-hmm. And it's great to finally have her on the podcast and sharing her opinions. And hopefully, if she's agreeable, we'll have her on again soon.
Great.
So that was 2007 summed up with an awful lot of chit-chat and gossip in the middle of there as well. And 2008 to look forward to. Harris, I'll speak to you again in about a month or so's time.
Okay, great. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. That was Harris Tozer, production manager of Nonsport Update magazine, and you'll find details about the magazine at nonsportupdate.com.
Great.
Joanna Kolbus was speaking to us in her capacity as a collector. As I said earlier, hopefully we'll get Joanna on in a future episode. Well, that's the end of episode 7 and our first episode of 2008. Hopefully we'll have a full year's worth of episodes this time next year. My thanks, as ever, to Harris Tozer for his contribution, and also to Joanna Kolbus for her debut on this particular episode. Hopefully that won't be the last we hear of her on Cardcast. Also thanks to Rebecca Tozer for her contribution on the Nothing for Nets appeal, and I strongly urge anybody listening to go and have a look at the Nothing for Nets website and to make a donation if they possibly can afford it.
Just a reminder, if you want information about any of the items featured in this episode, then links will be available on the cardcast.co.uk website sometime shortly after the podcast has been made available. If you're listening to this, in theory, the links should be already available. I'm looking at doing another episode in about a month or so's time, so until then, thank you for listening and happy collecting. UK Cardcast is recorded using Pamela for Skype on Windows XP using a Logitech USB headset. It's edited on Audacity and is compiled into the final podcast using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4. MP3 hosting for the podcast is provided by archive.org. Cardcast.co.uk is hosted by Google Pages. Other web page resources are provided by One and One and by Amen World. Music by Sapphire Moon. And remember, sometimes one pack is not enough, even if it isn't the best set in 2007. That's it, I'm out.